Now turn to part two. You will hear a sport psychologist called Brian Hawthorne giving a talk to psychology students about his profession. For questions 7 to 15, complete the sentences with a word or short phrase. You now have 45 seconds in which to look at part two.
Hello, my name's Brian Hawthorne and I've been asked to talk to you about my chosen profession, sports psychology. Since it's a relatively new profession, I'd like to give you some information about the activities sports psychologists get involved in, what techniques they employ, and why I think it's a great career. Essentially, sports psychologists treat individual athletes and teams from complete amateurs to top professionals, as well as referees, and all of these across a raft of sporting disciplines. Our main aim is to help clients improve their performance, in particular in competitions. In order to do this, we equip them with the necessary tools, by which I mean appropriate strategies to cope with the injuries and disappointments athletes face during their sporting lives. We may also get involved in advising a coach on things like developing motivation among the players in the squad. As a sports psychologist, you need good communication skills to do this. Some sports psychologists hold full-time positions in professional sports clubs, but mostly they have a varied portfolio, for example, advising individual clients and carrying out academic research. In order to become a sports psychologist, the most likely route is via involvement in sport and a first degree in psychology, followed by accredited postgraduate training. Now, what are the basic techniques that sports psychologists employ? There are a lot of different ones, but underlying each one of them is the aim of instilling mental toughness in competitors, as this is seen as being a crucial factor in putting in a winning performance. Let's have a brief look at a couple of basic strategies to give you an idea of what a sports psychologist does routinely. First, let's take visualization, which means preparing yourself for the challenge ahead by picturing the event in your mind. You see, through visualisation, applicants can fill in the blanks about the venue and the procedure, so they'll feel more confident and create what's known as a memory blueprint of how they want to behave. For example, when answering questions which the recruitment panel may ask them. Another technique is known as staying in the present. You may well say that's obvious, that's where we all are. True, but we often have a little voice inside our head that chatters away, dwelling on past mistakes or fretting about the future. And that can interfere with what we're doing right now. For a sportsman, it can be disastrous. For instance, I worked with an international footballer who missed a penalty in the closing moments of an important match. He admitted that instead of focusing on the back of the net, he was fantasising about the admiration he would receive from his ecstatic fellow players when he scored. In other words, what he should have done was focus on the task in hand and not allow himself to get distracted by his own thoughts. It isn't only thoughts, though, that can distract. A sports person has to avoid being sidetracked by spectators' actions. That may be just noise in the stadium, shouting and so on, or what's becoming an increasingly common and disgraceful phenomenon in which spectators bombard a player with insults to put him off his stride. This is just one manifestation of negative public interest. So, what marks out the real top guys? It's that they appear to embrace pressure in a match or a race and actively thrive on it. And for those who don't make it to the top, it may be because they are unable to cope with this. Then once they get to the top, they have to deal with...
Now you will hear part two again.
Hello, my name's Brian Hawthorne, and I've been asked to talk to you about my chosen profession, sports psychology. Since it's a relatively new profession, I'd like to give you some information about the activities sports psychologists get involved in, what techniques they employ, and why I think it's a great career. Essentially, sports psychologists treat individual athletes and teams from complete amateurs to top professionals, as well as referees, and all of these across a raft of sporting disciplines. Our main aim is to help clients improve their performance, in particular in competitions. In order to do this, we equip them with the necessary tools, by which I mean appropriate strategies to cope with the injuries and disappointments athletes face during their sporting lives. We may also get involved in advising a coach on things like developing motivation among the players in the squad. As a sports psychologist, you need good communication skills to do this. Some sports psychologists hold full-time positions in professional sports clubs, but mostly they have a varied portfolio, for example, advising individual clients and carrying out academic research. In order to become a sports psychologist, the most likely route is via involvement in sport and a first degree in psychology, followed by accredited postgraduate training. Now, what are the basic techniques that sports psychologists employ? There are a lot of different ones, but underlying each one of them is the aim of instilling mental toughness in competitors, as this is seen as being a crucial factor in putting in a winning performance. Let's have a brief look at a couple of basic strategies to give you an idea of what a sports psychologist does routinely. First, let's take visualization, which means preparing yourself for the challenge ahead by picturing the event in your mind. You see, through visualisation, applicants can fill in the blanks about the venue and the procedure, so they'll feel more confident and create what's known as a memory blueprint of how they want to behave. For example, when answering questions which the recruitment panel may ask them. Another technique is known as staying in the present. You may well say that's obvious, that's where we all are. True, but we often have a little voice inside our head that chatters away, dwelling on past mistakes or fretting about the future. And that can interfere with what we're doing right now. For a sportsman, it can be disastrous. For instance, I worked with an international footballer who missed a penalty in the closing moments of an important match. He admitted that instead of focusing on the back of the net, he was fantasising about the admiration he would receive from his ecstatic fellow players when he scored. In other words, what he should have done was focus on the task in hand and not allow himself to get distracted by his own thoughts. It isn't only thoughts, though, that can distract. A sports person has to avoid being sidetracked by spectators' actions. That may be just noise in the stadium, shouting and so on, or what's becoming an increasingly common and disgraceful phenomenon in which spectators bombard a player with insults to put him off his stride. This is just one manifestation of negative public interest. So, what marks out the real top guys? It's that they appear to embrace pressure in a match or a race and actively thrive on it. And for those who don't make it to the top, it may be because they're unable to cope with this. Then once they get to the top, they have to deal with...
That is the end of part 2.